Good evening, Conjure House family. Welcome to the Conjure House Files episode 2, where on today's episode we will be discussing, should you be afraid or have fear regarding a spiritual practitioner or a spiritual practitioner in which you are working with? I came across this topic because of a few people, more than a few people, who ask me, you know, this spiritual practitioner, they reached out to me, they told me that my life was in danger or that my life is in danger. They are attempting to get me to do spiritual work to help my life, save a family member, or keep me from having some type of bad situation occur. Now, when they come to you, they really, truly, honestly aren't supposed to be reaching out. And what I mean by that is, if I see somebody online and I see their profile and I reach out to them to offer services, this is really something that should not be done. When you are a spiritual practitioner, your purpose is to guide people, to assist people, and help them to gain clarity, to help them to gain understanding, and to help them to relieve a stress or something that is going on in their life, a blockage, a loss, not gaining ground within their life, love issues, financial issues, emotional and spiritual issues. So that is the role of a spiritual practitioner. It's to learn yourself. It is to help others learn themselves, and in the event that it is necessary, help them through spiritual means, whether it's divination or it is utilizing spiritual tools, sacrifice, things of that nature. Our job, if you will, is not to go to people and stop them in the streets and tell them that their life is cursed. And then from there, I can fix it. If you pay me this much money, I can make your life better. It is not a part of our protocol, if you will, to go into people's inbox and say that there is something wrong in their life. And since there is something wrong, let me fix it. Let me charge you $2,000. When someone goes out to a spiritual practitioner, and really especially if it's the first time, and there are instances where in the first time there may be a necessity to perform spiritual work, whether it's a cleansing, a removal, protection, banishing, something to help them open their roads or something to help them gain ground in life, get people off of their back, whether they are a physical person that's on their back or a spiritual entity that is on their back. That does happen. But typically, if you go to a reading and the instant that the reading starts, everything is going well, everything looks good, and then all of a sudden it changes, or even at the beginning of your divination, your life is just bad, it's horrible. You must pay thousands of dollars in order to fix your life. You must initiate. If you don't, the spirits will be angry and all of these bad things will happen to you. Okay? These things can come up in a reading as well. However, there is a way to explain it, and there is a way to help someone understand it that is not just based on, give me your money, and I'll protect you, and I'll rule your head, I'll control your life, but no harm will come to you. You have to sometimes step back from those type of readings, and you have to look at the reading, and you have to look at your life as it is. If you've been going along and you're not really having major problems, there's no health problems, there's no major financial problems, you haven't been in 10 accidents and have luckily made it out of those accidents, then you have to weigh that against your reading. If you have been living a great life and you have done everything, then you have to weigh that. But be mindful more so. What I'm saying is be mindful of fear tactics for the purpose of gaining revenue, gaining your revenue. There are times where things are not going well. You can work to fix those things. You may be able to do prayers. You may be able to do a cleansing bath. Those baths may need to, you know, those may have to be made for you. With those baths, they are particular in the way they are made. They are particular in the way that they may be administered or need to be administered in order to relieve a negative energy. So in this podcast, I'm not going essentially against spiritual workers, but what I am saying is that you have to research. You have to use some common sense, and please, if you're listening, don't take that in the wrong way. Common sense and logic are a very necessary thing that is needed in order to help you to progress through life. When you don't have that, or that has not been taught, you can still make it through life. You may just have a natural knack for getting through situations. But at the same time, you may go the long route through that situation versus a shorter route. So, you know, common sense and logic are simply really taking the time to look and say, okay, this makes sense. This doesn't make sense. This fits. This does not fit. And then going forward from there. So before I get off on a ramble, I want to pull it back and say that you should not be approached and fear should not be instilled within you when approached. That is the opposite of what spiritual practitioners are for. You should not be approached and told, I can fix this, I can fix everything in your life, I can do this. If you have a need, please let me know. If you need it, your spirits, whether you know them or not, whether you know your ancestors or not, should guide you to a person that you feel comfortable with. And you should feel comfortable with them in the short term, the midterm, and the long term of that relationship. Now, sometimes you will have short term spiritual relationships. Sometimes you will have kind of one that's in the middle. And then sometimes you will have those long term relationships with your spiritual practitioner that are for helping you. You should be evolving with your spiritual practitioner, okay? Now, to the point of my podcast in its entirety, I wanted to cover those things so as not to come across as bashing spiritual workers, especially, you know, other spiritual workers, because sometimes you hear, as a spiritual worker that may be listening to this, you feel that we already get enough of a bad rep because of Hollywood. Hollywood says, oh, if you go to the spiritual practitioner, they're going to invite evil. They are evil. They are this, they are that. You know, all of the tropes that exist for spiritual practitioners, where there is a good side that is shown, there's also a bad side that is shown. And typically, in my personal experience with life, people tend to remember the bad more than they remember the good that occurs. So if you say, do you remember the date that this good thing happened? They may remember, it may be fuzzy. But if you say, do you remember where you were when this bad event occurred? And people can typically tell you exactly where they were, what they were doing, if they were eating, what they were eating, and all of that jazz. They can go through it. So when you look at spiritual practitioners and dealing with them, where I have had a good amount of people come to me is when they don't involve themselves with the spiritual practitioner, especially on a financial level. When the person says, oh, hey, thank you for, you know, letting me know that I had all these things going on. Thank you for letting me know that you saw something on me, but I've handled it. And that person may have handled it themselves. They may not need the spiritual practitioner. They may have enough of a working understanding of spirituality that they don't need the spiritual practitioner. Then you have the individual that knows a good amount, but what they're doing doesn't seem to be working, so they involve themselves with a spiritual practitioner. However, it may not be the spiritual practitioner that initially reached out to them. Sometimes people just don't vibe. They don't vibe with you. They may vibe, they may not. They may not know anything about the spiritual world, and they get caught up in the fear, so they go to that person. They may want to do a little research, and then they find someone who makes them feel comfortable. And sometimes even that person that makes them feel comfortable is not even, quote unquote, the real deal. It happens. It happened to me when I started down the road of my spiritual journey. I did not luck up on the Babalao. I did not luck up on the Santero. I didn't essentially get that lucky. My first experience was with a Babalao. And I went to his shop. This was back in Orlando, Central Florida area. And he goes, oh, you've got all these bad things. You need to take 16 baths. I need to sacrifice a pig and a goat. And it's going to cost you this much. And I'm going to do all of these things for you. You need to take these 16 baths. Then you need to come back for another divination, and that divination will determine if you should be initiated and receive your warriors and all of these things that you're going to need to protect your life. So I bought my bath, I paid him for the animals and this ceremony that he was going to do. And at the time, because I was brand new to this, I didn't know how things work. So I asked, do you need me to come to the ceremony? And he said, no, you're not initiated. You can't see the secrets. You can't see what's going on. You can't see any of that. So, no. So I was, okay. All right. Well, you know, I can't see it. I can't do anything. I ended up coming back to the shop, and there was someone in the shop that was basically making the point that he was not doing the things that he said he was doing. He was just taking the money and basically going to bed and waking up. So some thousands of dollars later, lesson learned. But the funny thing is just like how people approach me about being afraid of the spiritual practitioner, I basically was told by the spiritual practitioner that if I said anything, if I tried to come against him, that he had the power to destroy me. He could destroy my family, destroy my child or any children that were to come. And so it's best that if I didn't want to be destroyed by him, that I did not say anything to anybody. And I have a few people that came to me now that I am years and years into this, and they go, can that person really harm me? Can they do anything to me? And the answer is, yes, they possibly could, but no, more than likely, they will not. Because what I have come to understand, essentially putting spirituality to the side, is that it's a psychological game. Oh, you don't want to pay me the $1,000, then you'll be cursed. If that doesn't work, when you say, hey, I'm not falling for your games, back the hell off of me, then all of a sudden it's, oh, you don't talk to me that way, I'll curse you. I'll put a curse on you. Since you want to disrespect my power, then I'll put a curse on you. And it's all crap. It's really a psychological game to bring about a fear tactic, because they know that most people hear the voodoo man, or they have this idea of what some people may still call the bushman, and him killing them and making them a zombie or harming somebody in their family. And because we, in our nature, fear loss, we will succumb to the threats of the spiritual practitioner because we don't want to take the chance that we will face that loss. And it's essentially the same psychology that occurs when you sign up for phone insurance. Hey, you just bought this $1,200 phone, and while you're paying off this $1,200 phone, we want to make sure that if you drop your phone, if the phone breaks, if it malfunctions, if you drop it in water, then we will cover that for you. So you pay the $12 to $20 or whatever it is. Hey, you just bought this car. We know you're essentially a responsible driver, but we do have lapses in judgment. We have lapses in our human nature, and you may cause an accident, or someone will have a lapse within themselves and they cause an accident. So you need this insurance. It's $300. Spiritual practitioners that prey on your fear and prey on your your mental and spiritual capacity, do so in the same nature that life insurance companies make commercials to tell you, hey, you could die, don't leave your family behind. The thing about it is, you could die, and you don't want to leave your family, so you get the insurance. You could drop your phone. You could get in an accident. But the likelihood of a spiritual practitioner going out and buying all the supplies or taking the time to walk or get gas in their car to go and get dirt from a cemetery and go and get a guinea hen and do all of these things against you isn't likely. It really, truly isn't likely at all, because things cost. And even if they are a person that they go, like myself, I will go and get my dirt. I don't order my dirt online. I'll go get my dirt. I will pay the spirits for my dirt, my water, the bones, whatever I need. I will find the means to get it as naturally as possible, because this is essentially a nature-based religion, nature-based spirituality. So for the most part, if you didn't give them what they want and you're not falling for it, and there's 150 other people that didn't fall for the $1,000, then where are they getting the money to go and purchase all these things? So they take a picture, they do this, and they go on. But also what they prey on is the psychology of natural occurrence. I don't even know if that's a real thing. I may have just made that up. But what I'm telling you is the psychology of natural occurrence. And what that means is, you tell me on Friday that if I don't pay you the money to do spiritual work to help your life, and you're going to put bad juju on me, or you're going to put a root, or trying to say root, I tend to say root, but you're going to put a root on me, and you're going to do all this evil to me because I didn't play along with your game. So on Friday, you say that. Now, on Monday, My throat gets a little sore, you know, I feel a little weak, and instantly I think about you, the spiritual practitioner. Oh no, oh God, oh Jesus, oh ancestors, oh Orisha, oh Nkisi, whatever you believe, or the multitude of things that you believe, you start to believe that they must have done something, because why did you all of a sudden get sick? But what you don't remember, or what you don't realize, is you've been thinking about this all week. Will they really? Could they really? Will I get sick? What if I get sick? How do I fix it? Well, if I do, then that means that they're real and I have to go to them to get it fixed. So now you're back, and you're paying them, when what you don't realize is you've pretty much created the illness, or 50-50, you got sick, you haven't been sleeping well, you've been stressed out thinking about the spiritual practitioner, you've been stressed out because of family issues, you've been stressed out because of your money being a little tight, something happened to come up. So these things start to worry you, naturally worry you, and your physical health starts to diminish slightly, when in fact, it had nothing to do with the spiritual practitioner. It had everything to do with you. Now, on the flip side of the coin, where there may be some fear of the spiritual practitioner is, say you have a spiritual practitioner who is, they're doing your work, they're doing everything for you, they are accommodating, they are trying to make sure that they get to you and handle all of your needs. You aren't mindful that you aren't their only client. Now, you in a way should feel like their only client, but you also must understand that spiritual practitioners, we connect to a spiritual world, but we are still at the end of the day human. We have to sleep. We have to eat. We have to detox from things. We may be overwhelmed with work. I know of spiritual practitioners that do 3 or 4 divinations in a day, and they shut it down after that. One, they have other things to get done in a day, and sometimes after 4 or 5, they're mentally and spiritually exhausted. So say you have the spiritual practitioner and, you have the spiritual practitioner and you are per se having work done. Now you may have told them, I'll pay you half on Monday and then in 2 weeks I'll pay you the rest of the money. They make the agreement and you go from there. Now you go from there. And then all of a sudden you disappear. Now you disappear, they reach out, they don't hear anything. You're still posting or whatever the case is, or they know that you're alive and living and you're still going about your day, but you're not reaching out to them because maybe something came up, something happened, you don't have the money. You may get a response of, hey, look, you know, I'm doing your work. I put my faith that you would stand up to your end, just as you put faith in me that I would stand up to my end. And now you've ghosted me. And so since you have ghosted me, I'm going to stop the work. Or they may be upset. And they say, I'm going to stop the work. And not only am I going to stop the work, I'm going to reverse everything that I did. So everything you've gained comes right back to ground zero, to where you were. Now, if that is their immediate reaction, say you were supposed to pay them first thing in the morning on Friday, and it's 3 o'clock. You got up, you ran to work, you forgot, and the first thing that they write you or speak in a voicemail or text is, you didn't pay me my money, I want my effing money, and you better this and that, or I'm going to reverse this work. That you want to be mindful of, that, yeah, they can stop it. Yes, they can reverse it, but essentially lesson learned in dealing with them after that point. There should always be balance on both sides of the coin, from the practitioner and from you as well. When you look at it, they are doing a spiritual service. They are helping you as best as they can, and you are receiving and you're doing so that their work works. Both sides have equal responsibility to spirit. So if you're going to get into that and you know, hey, it's not looking good for that payment, talk to people, communicate. A lot of issues fall prey to fear and concern and worry because a lack of communication. So yes, on one end, your work can be reversed. But at the end of the day, if they're threatening to harm you, they're really not that great of a spiritual practitioner. If they come to you and they say that they want you to do work and they're pestering you about it and you refuse and they threaten you, block them and move on. They can't do anything to you. Simple, plain and simple, period, point blank. It is a scare tactic. Don't let it get inside your mind. The spiritual world should be a healthy place, and you should be healthy within the spiritual world, as well as your practitioner should be healthy within the spiritual world. And another thing to be mindful of when you're looking for spiritual practitioners, how much beef do they get into? Are they always basically trying to post themselves with bravado? And if you mess with me, I'll push back. Oh, I'm the best spiritual practitioner ever. I get results this fast. What if they have a lot of bravado and they seem to always be at war with people? Watch closely, but you may want to run in the opposite direction, because if they have beef with people, then they are going to either create beef with you, or they're going to have beef if you don't do what they say, especially along the lines of, hey, how are things going? How's my work? If they push back, like, you know, stop pestering me, leave me alone, I'm doing your work, and rah, you want to be mindful of that. Now, with that said, there is also a respect on the other side that you are not their only client. Give them time. But understand that if you snap at them and they know they're doing your work, they may snap back. And it does happen. So the thing is to foster a healthy relationship. If they're coming in advertising, best to just block them and move on. If they're reaching out, if they're coming to you asking for money, move those types along. But if they are doing their thing and you happen upon them and you need them, go to them. But also be mindful, if you all vibe, have a conversation, have communication, and then let things go and build from there. Communication is the key. Understanding is another key. Patience is a third key. And with those three things, communication, understanding, and patience, you can have a beautiful spiritual experience within the spiritual world, within the spiritual world and the physical world, and with your spiritual practitioner. But at no time should fear be a component of why you deal with someone or how you deal with them. There should be no fear on your side, and fear should not be instilled upon you by the spiritual practitioner. This is the end of my podcast. It ran a little bit longer than I expected, but I wanted to make my points and keep instilling those points and reinstilling those points to make sure that it was understood. If you guys have any questions, if you have any concerns, you can reach me at ConjureHouse, ConjureHouseInt. If you seek tarot and divination and I am not available, there is also our sister company at Conjure House Dreams, and that's DREAMS, Conjure House Dreams. They do divination. They also do tarot, but also I am essentially the solar aspect, the sun, the masculine energy of Conjure House, and they are the moon and feminine energy of Conjure House. I'm Conjure House INT. They're at Conjure House Dreams. So if you don't feel that connection with me, I completely understand. You may feel that connection with her, and she is available for your general readings. I offer fixed candles. I offer spiritual guidance and spiritual support. I also have my book, The Wandering Spiritualist, which is a small PDF, but from the reviews that I have received and the testimonials, it is a very effective PDF that I do sell through Instagram. That is the main place where you can find us, is Instagram. So if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. Please go and review my Conjure House INT page for different variations of knowledge about the spiritual world. And also, you can watch my Instagram TV videos, which help you to understand how to set up altars for your ancestors and how to elevate your ancestors. I know that this goes on anchor.fm. I know that these podcasts go to Spotify. I am waiting for approval for other podcast servers that will allow you to make comments and post anything that you'd want to say. Until then, please follow me on Instagram, and we thank you for listening. We love you, and we wish you all the best. Have a good night.